and Christine and Jim and Kobe and Mary and family members, friends and church family, we are gathered here this afternoon for the funeral service of the late Mrs. Elizabeth Sarah DeYoung, born July 24, 1925, passed away November 13, 2014, at age 89. Dear family, on behalf of the Heritage Reformed Church of Jordan, we extend to you our heartfelt condolences for the loss of your dear mother. Your background write-up says she was always a quiet person. And those of us who visited her can attest to that. A person of very few words, but always with that little smile around her lips. A person, though, who at times she was sometimes frustrated with her health situation, yet not one to complain. She was also very quiet, and especially so, I think, when it came to spiritual matters. How we would have rejoiced to hear from her a clear testimony that her only hope and trust for salvation, that the love of her soul was the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet we can't deny that whenever we visited and read scripture with her, she appreciated it so much. Sometimes I would even get her to read scripture to me, and she would do that tremblingly at times. And I don't think she was trembling just because she was nervous because the Domine was there. But it reminds me of Isaiah 66, verse 2, where the Lord says, "But to this person will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and who trembles at my word." As Reformed people, we confess in the canons of Dort that with respect to those who make an external profession of faith and live regular lives, which your mother did, we are bound, after the example of the apostle, to judge and speak of them in the most favorable manner. For the secret recesses of the heart are unknown to us. So we look not to man, but we look to a gracious heavenly Father. The days ahead will be difficult, as life goes on all around us, and there will be a huge empty place in your little family circle. Cast your burden on the Lord. He will sustain you. Remember that the Lord our God is always in control. He makes no errors. You will need each other as you go forward, but above all, you will need the presence, the blessing, the strength, and the comfort of our Lord Jesus Christ and His precious Holy Spirit. He has promised, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." Dear friends and church family, let us remember this morning family in our prayers. And let us show our love, our concern, and support for them with a phone call, an email, or another little note, an offer to help. And let us always direct them to the Lord Jesus Christ, who sends the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, who always testifies of Jesus Christ. At this time, I'd like you to sing number 92, verse 1. "Be thou my helper in the strife, O Lord, my strong defender be." One of the psalms that Mrs. DeYoung listened to many times on a CD that she used to play very often. 92, verse 1. Thank you. Scripture reading this afternoon is from the book of Psalms, chapter 90. Psalm 90. A prayer of Moses, the man of God. Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever Thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction, and sayest, Return, ye children of men. For 1,000 years in Thy sight are but as yesterday, when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away, as with a flood. They are as asleep. In the morning they are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourishes and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by Thine anger, and by Thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before Thee, our secret sins in the light of Thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in Thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 80 years. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow. For it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of Thine anger? Even according to Thy fear, so is Thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? And let it repent Thee concerning Thy servants. O satisfy us early with Thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein Thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Let Thy work appear unto Thy servants, and Thy glory unto their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish Thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish Thou it. Thus far, the reading of God's holy word. Let's now pray together. O Lord God Almighty and gracious Heavenly Father, it is, Lord, in Thy eternal decree, Thy eternal counsel, and according to Thy goodness and Thy providence, that we are set apart here for an hour this afternoon, for the funeral of a dear mother, a step-grandmother, a dear friend to many. Lord, it has pleased Thee to spare Mrs. Dion's life for 89 years. And now, O Lord, it has pleased Thee to take her. And we pray then for Christine and for Kobe and Mary. Thou would comfort them, Lord, as Thou alone art able to do. Thou would strengthen them, sustain them, uphold them. Grant them a favorable sense of Thy presence, even in these moments, that they may know that underneath are the everlasting arms of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd. We pray, Lord, for friends and family members and our church family and other interested people, as we are reminded of the truth of the Word of God, that man goes to his long home, that the mourners go about the streets, that the dust shall return to the earth as it was, and that the Spirit returns unto God who gave it. Lord, we pray that in this day Thou would show us from the holy Word of God that by nature we are all the same, that we are all sinners who need the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Teach us from Thy word, Lord, the shortness of life and the reality of God's wrath against sin. Teach us, Lord, remind us that we shall all die and appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Lord, Thy holy word teaches us that there are only two kinds of people, also in this assembly, those who are saved and those who are unsaved. Saved by the free grace of God, on the basis of the cross of Jesus Christ, and unsaved by our own choices, willfully rejecting salvation through Christ. Lord, thy word teaches us there are only two ways to live. To live to God's honor or to live to ourselves. Thy word teaches us that there are only two ways to die. To die in the hope of life in Jesus Christ alone, or to die in utter hopelessness. And thy word teaches us, Lord, that there are only two places to spend eternity. Forever in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ, or forever in hellfire with the devil and his demons. Oh Lord God, we pray that thou would use the death of Mrs. de Jong and her funeral for the benefit of us all. For thy children, those who believe the gospel, who have come to faith in Christ Jesus. That we would look longingly for the day of our death, when the struggle with sin will be over forevermore, and that wicked old fleshly nature has no strength and is dead forevermore, when we shall be eternally with the Lord Jesus Christ. O Lord, hasten that day. And Lord, use Mrs. de Jong's death too, and her funeral, for unbelievers. Send thy Holy Spirit, Lord, even in these moments, to convict and to convince of sin. And for the first time they may realize that I have a soul to lose. I'm living in sin, despite being baptized perhaps. And I am without Christ, a stranger from the covenants of promise, having no hope, without God in the world. Bring them, Lord, to that realization as we face the reality of the death of a human being. And Lord, open all of our eyes to see ourselves, as Scripture shows us, in ourselves, sinners and rebels against God. Open our eyes, Lord, to see God as the Scriptures show this God, holy and righteous, perfect and pure. And Lord, open our eyes to see the Lord Jesus Christ as the mediator between God and man, the only name given among men under heaven whereby we can and must be saved. Bless the passage from thy word that we hope to consider together. Fill us, Lord, with thy Holy Spirit in speaking and in hearing, that we may glorify the Lord our God. Keep us from sin and forgive our many sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to focus with you briefly on Psalm 90, verse 12. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. In order to do that, I have to take you through the whole psalm, because that the rest of the psalm sets the purpose and the reason why Moses tells us to pray this. Psalm 90 is a prayer of Moses, the man of God. So this whole chapter is a prayer for us this afternoon, a prayer to the Lord, to Jehovah, the faithful, covenant-keeping God. Lord, he says, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. And while Moses is writing this, he and the children of Israel are in the wilderness, living in tents on the way to the promised land. But he knows that the Lord is always the dwelling place of those who trust in him. And in the New Testament we read that all who believe in Christ dwell in him and Christ in them. This word dwelling place has also been translated in other places of Scripture as a place of refuge, a hiding place. Before the mountains were brought forth, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. So this God is not only their dwelling place, but he is the everlasting God. And that statement is just as true of Jehovah, the Son of God, as it is for God the Father. One of the names of Jesus in Isaiah 9 verse 6 is the Everlasting Father. And He is Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Thou turnest man to destruction or to the dust. By death, God returns man to his original state, to the dust of the earth, which he becomes again. And God says to him, return, you children of men. That's what God is saying to us this afternoon too. Return to me. Return to me in the way of repentance and the way of faith. Come back to me. I am your creator. 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday. Oh, what striking words that apply to the disproportion there is between the eternal God and mortal man. Even if we were to live 1,000 years, which no person ever has, yet that would be like yesterday to God. We think about yesterday, it's gone. It seems that to be nothing anymore. 1,000 years in the sight of God are like a watch in the night. It refers to a time span of about 3 hours in the nighttime. That's how short human life is. Even the longest human life in the sight of God is like 3 hours. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. When a flash flood comes, it comes suddenly. It comes unexpectedly when we're not aware of it. And just as that flash flood comes with irresistible force and power and spares no one, so does death. They are as a sleep. Death is often compared to a sleep in Scripture. Describing man, it says, in the morning they are like grass. Grass that grows up. In the morning it flourishes and grows up. That's what we are like in the morning of our lives, in our youth. We are strong, we're growing, we're happy, we're beautiful. We're growing in stature and strength of our bodies and in our minds. And in the evening, the grass is cut down. And it is withered. That refers to the latter part of our lives. The evening of old age. And that whole picture expresses the shortness of a human life. Man's life is represented as one day, one morning, and one evening. And it withers like the grass. Why? For, he says, we are consumed by thine anger. Death consumes a person's body. Hell consumes soul and body. By thy wrath we are troubled. That's what makes death the king of terrors is the wrath of God. And we are subject to bondage our whole life through fear of death. And especially the wrath to come that follows death. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee. That's the cause of all trouble. That's the cause of death. Those sins of ours are before the Lord as the evidence that He sets against us. And according to which the righteous judge will proceed. Our secret sins, it says, are set in the light of thy countenance, are set before the face of God. Those sins of ours that nobody else knows about, that are unobserved, sometimes not even by ourselves, like sins of evil thoughts of our hearts, foolish words of our mouths, those sins that we rarely even notice as sins. But they're all well known to God and will be brought to light by Him, will be set in the light of His countenance with the full evidence they give against us to our condemnation and death. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. All of our days. You notice that man's life is not measured here in months or in years, but in days. 24-hour sections. And the worst of all is that all of those days, it says, are passed away in the wrath of God. Now that's true for wicked people. By nature, the children of wrath who go through the world and out of it in God's wrath. And nobody but God's people are exempt from it. On them, no wrath comes. They've been loved with an everlasting love. Christ bore God's wrath for them on the cross of Calvary. We spend our years as a tale that is told. Think of a fairy tale, or a story that's told, or a present little story. That metaphor sets before us the brevity and the vanity of human life. In those tales, it's often just trifling and vain things that are told, and it's just for our amusement. It affects us for a little while, we chuckle and we smile, and then it's lost again, as if it never existed. That, says Scripture, is what human life is like. And maybe the point of this phrase is to show us the idle and unprofitable way in which the years of life are spent by most people. By just wasting, consuming time by telling idle stories. Some of those years consumed and spent in youthful lusts and pleasures, others in immoderate pursuit of worldly amusements. The days of our years are 70. 70 years. Before the flood, you know, people lived a long time, longer than that, some 900 years and more. But after the flood, according to Genesis 6 verse 3, people lived to be 120 years. But now by the time of Moses, it's come down to 70 or 80 at most. If by reason of strength they are 80 years. These days people seem to go beyond 80 years again. When you're healthy and strong and under divine blessing, you'll get to be 80. I see many older people here this afternoon in their 70s and in their 80s. It says if by reason of strength they are 80, yet is their strength, labor, and sorrow. You labor under great infirmities. You feel the pains, the weakness of old age. You have little pleasure anymore. The whole extent of your days from first to last is spent in toil and labor just to live in this world. We saw that in the latter years of Mrs. de Jong. Just to get through each day was labor and toil. And it's all attended with sin. And as a result, with sorrow. For it is soon cut off. Life is soon cut off. The strength of a person is cut off, or his days are cut off by one disease or another, or by an incident or an accident or another, just like grass that is mown down in the harvest time, or like a flower that's plucked up by the hand, as Job puts it in Job 14 verse 2, and we fly away. It's not time that flies, no matter how we love to use that saying. Time flies, doesn't it? You know what the Bible says? We fly, and we fly away, like a shadow, like a vapor, or like a bird with wings. We fly out of this time into eternity. We fly from this place to the grave. We fly from the land of light to the regions of darkness. And oh, it is well with us. If we may fly away to heaven and to happiness, oh, that will be the portion of all those who love the Lord Jesus Christ, who believe His gospel, who know that Christ saved them from the wrath of God, and who know that Christ knew the power of God's anger toward them. Who knows the power of thine anger? Who knows it? Think of it in the Bible. The drowning of the world in the worldwide flood. That was the power of God's anger. Think of the burning of Sodom and Gomorrah. That was the power of God's anger. Very few people take notice of it and consider it. Or look into the causes of it. which is the sins of men. You know who knows the power of God's anger right now? People who are in hell, they know the power of God's anger. You know who else knew the power of God's anger? The Lord Jesus Christ knew it when he died on the cross for the sins of his people. But on this earth, very few people pay attention to it and rarely ever think of the power of God's anger. Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. Who knows the power of God's wrath in such a way that it leads you to fear the Lord? Who considers it so that you would stand in awe of Him and reverence Him and fear to offend Him and desire to please Him from the bottom of your heart? See what Moses has been doing in Psalm 90 so far? He's telling us of a very short human life and a very angry God. And that motivates him to continue praying to the same God. The God who has said is our dwelling place. The God who is the same forevermore. And what does he pray for? And what should be our prayer this afternoon? So teach us to number our days. Teach us to count our days. And not just to count them to see how many we've had already. Just using simple math, you don't need the Lord to teach you how to do that. We all know a few facts: a person's birth date, the number of days in a year. With a little skill and a calculator, in a minute or so, you can figure out how many days that you have already lived. I did that this week for Mrs. de Jong. She lived approximately 32,600 days. That's a lot of days. But Moses is telling us, teach us to number our days, not each other's days, not somebody else's days. But you can put it this way, to pray, Lord, teach me to number my days. Not how many days I have already lived, and also not how many days I still have to live. Because nobody can count the number of days we have left to live. The number of our days or months or years, that number is hidden with the Lord. It's hidden from us. What we do know as living people is that we all shall die. We don't know how long we shall live. The Lord doesn't teach us that. And we shouldn't be overly concerned about with how long we still shall live. Then what is it? What's he asking then? What is the real meaning behind teach us to number our days? He's praying to the Lord that God would teach us to number our days in such a way as if this day was the very last one. That's what it means. Teach us to number our days. To count each day, every morning, as if it were your last day. Because nobody here can boast of tomorrow. Can you? Can you guarantee me that you will be alive tomorrow? No, you can't. And I can't either. This day, this night, our souls may be required of us by our God. That's what it means to teach us to number our days. That the Lord would teach us to look at each day He gives us and to seriously meditate on it and to consider the shortness of our lives. That our days are but a shadow. Or as James says, they're a vapor. It just disappears. On these cold days you step outside, you see the vapor of your breath. How long do you see that for? It's there and it's gone. That's how long your life is. Teach us to consider the sinfulness, the vanity of our days, so that we would not desire to live here always. Teach us to consider the sorrows and the trouble of our days, that it would serve to wean us from this world. Teach us, Lord, to observe how unprofitably we spend our days, that it would serve to urge us to redeem the time that we have. And Lord, teach us to take note of the goodness of God that has followed us all of our days, that it may lead us to repentance and to live in the fear of the Lord. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom, to consider our latter end, what will become of us after our day is over. That is real wisdom, to be prepared to die, that we may apply our hearts to seek the way of salvation in Christ alone, that we may apply our hearts to seek Christ, to seek the wisdom of God, to seek the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom, and to walk circumspectly, not as fools, as Paul writes, but as wise people. And for that, application of the heart is necessary, because wisdom is to be sought with our whole heart. And to do that, we need divine teaching. We need God to teach us this, just as we need it for numbering our days. You realize that unless God teaches us through His Word, and unless the Holy Spirit convinces us of sin and righteousness and judgment, we will never be earnestly concerned about our future state. We will not inquire into the way of salvation. Our hearts will not apply to Christ for it. Yes, we may then number our days and consider how short they are, and remind each other, boy, time sure flies, and apply our hearts to foolishness and not to wisdom. Return, O Lord. How long? We know that God is everywhere in His being, in His immensity. And yet, when it comes to His gracious presence, He is not everywhere. And so the soul cries out, Lord, how long? In the context of the psalm, Lord, how long wilt thou be angry with us? Let it repent thee concerning thy servants, or we could say, comfort thy servants, Lord, with thy presence. With the pardoning love, the pardoning grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, satisfy us early with thy mercy. Another way of saying, satisfy us early with Christ Jesus, the God of all grace, and communion with Him. Without Christ Jesus, without His grace, without communion with God, hungry and thirsty souls are not satisfied. But that will satisfy. Nothing else will. Christ and His righteousness. Satisfy us early with thy mercy, so that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us. The days of affliction, it says in the Psalms, are many. The days of affliction are times of sorrow and grief. And the days of communion with Christ can make even days of affliction joyful days and glad days through Christ Jesus the Lord. Let thy work appear unto thy servants. Oh, that great work of redemption by the Lord Jesus Christ, the very work of God, and the work of grace in sinners' hearts, that's God's work too. Let that work appear unto thy servants, and let thy glory appear unto their children. The children of the servant. See, one generation to the next, God is a covenant God and He works. He works from generation to generation, and the prayer is, let Thy glory appear to our children, Lord. The glory of God that's displayed in providence and grace, and especially the glory of God displayed in the redemption of sinners. The glory of God displayed in Christ Jesus Himself, who is the brightness of His Father's glory. The glorious grace of God that appears to men, by which we are changed into the image of Christ from glory to glory. And according to this verse, from generation to generation, and that the glory of the Lord our God be upon us. O Heavenly Father, let the glory of Jesus Christ be upon us. That glory alone whereby sinners become the perfection of beauty, or the beauty of holiness that appears upon us when we are renewed and sanctified by the Holy Spirit of Christ, and establish Thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish Thou it. That's repeated there. The prayer that God would establish the work of our hands. Yes, there is a work of duty and obedience for us to do to Him. We ought not to be slothful and inactive, but to be motivated to it by what He has done for us. Think about it, dear children of God, here this afternoon, what Christ Jesus has done for you. He lived a perfect life. He obeyed God perfectly for you. He suffered for you. He died for you. He was crucified for you. He was buried for you. He rose again from the dead for you. He sits at the right hand of God the Father for you, always interceding for you. Let that motivate you to do the work of your hands. Oh, we should be continually in the service of God, seeking His glory and His honor. Whatever we find to do, let us do it with all the might of grace that He gives us, so that we may be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Establish Thou the work of our hands. Yea, Lord, establish it. That's repeated to show how necessary it is and the strength of our desire after it. So the main thing we need to go home with this afternoon is this. Human life is extremely short. 89 years sounds like a long, long time. But in light of eternity, it's like yesterday afternoon. It's gone. And God is very angry with sin. And that's why Moses wants us to pray. So, Lord, teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. And if you know your Bible well, then you know that wisdom is the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in Proverbs chapter 8. So you could pray it this way. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Our gracious Lord, we thank Thee, Lord, for Thy precious word. That word that says of itself that it is able to make us wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Lord, we bless Thee that Thou hast inspired Moses to write this psalm. Also the instruction of our text to pray to the Lord our God that Thou would teach us to number our days so that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. O Lord, be our teacher. Grant Thy Holy Spirit using thy word to teach us to number our days, to teach us to come and to flee to Christ Jesus. Lord, we have been shown the reality this afternoon from thy word that human life is very short and that God is very angry with sin, but also that in Christ Jesus, the wrath of God has been taken upon him in the place of all those who place their trust in him alone for the salvation of our souls. O Lord, let it be every single one of us, we pray. And now, Lord, as we leave this place and go to the cemetery, wilt thou strengthen this dear family. Lord, uphold them. And grant that they may also know that in these moments they may cast all their burdens upon the Lord, the great burden bearer, and that thou, Lord, will sustain them, as thou hast promised to do. I will never leave you, nor forsake you. Bless us, Lord, we pray. Keep us from sin. Forgive our many sins, in Jesus' name. Amen. In closing, we sing number 244, verses 1, 2, and 5. Lord, through all the generations of the children of thy race, in our fears and tribulations, thou hast been our dwelling place. 1, 2, and 5 of number 244.